as the promo said, we are back in the saddle with a horse ridden by myself, Reverend Tom Baker, and the Reverend Dr. Mark Smith. How do you like the riding here, Mark?
Back in the saddle.
Yeah, we're back in the saddle.
Okay. Hey, happy belated Thanksgiving, Tom.
Well, you had already said it before you left.
Did you have a good Thanksgiving?
It was really kind of interesting. You know, I was at a church, and of course, this is interesting from a law gospel perspective. I'll tell you about it.
Everything is interesting, Tom.
No, it always is. On this Tuesday, November the 27th, 2012, our last program was on the 21st, and then the next one is 26th, so we had 5 days off there. And as my boss.
You had 5 days off. Oh, I did not have 5 days off.
No, I went to Ohio. We always go there with Louise's sister to see the big important game of the whole year.
Oh, yes.
Ohio State versus Michigan, where Ohio State won and has a perfect season.
Ooh, boy.
But because of their problems, they can't go into any bowl games. So that was really interesting. Then we had to leave early right after the game because I was preaching in Trinity Hoyleton.
Oh, Trinity Hoyleton, yes, right.
Place that Pastor
Peter Kurowski's old parish.
Oh, that's right, yes. And I walked in, and they said, you know Pastor Kurowski? I said, yes.
And you went right on.
Yep.
Didn't say any more.
No, actually, I brought with me about 8 of his books. You know, he's written Animals in Heaven, Seduction of Extremes, a whole bunch, and they were pretty well sold.
Oh, I'll bet they were.
Yeah. So wonderful congregation there.
Did you find out who the baseball player was from that congregation?
Yes, I did. But I forgot his name. A gentleman came up and said, yeah, Pastor Smith, there was a gentleman, but it wasn't Kurowski, and they gave me the name, and he's still living.
He's still around.
Yeah. Right. I'm sorry, I forgot the name. Anybody from Trinity can phone right now and give me the name of that baseball player who was there. But, they had heard you say.
Oh, they did?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Everybody was lining up saying, no, he was, this was the name and stuff. So you got a big audience out there.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. There's at least 3 of them who listen to you, just in Hoyleton. And then, I was going to count your wife, but she doesn't listen. Okay. Number one question for Rumination Tuesday. And I want to know what your feeling is about this. Churches in Texas are getting more people coming to church because during the week they hold classes for concealed gun carry.
Ooh, yeah.
Now, isn't that interesting?
Huh. Yeah, that's... Concealed gun carry. I've heard of crazy things like that. I don't know if I'd want my congregation to be known as the church that, that's where you get all the, I can see.
You're going through the same thing I was.
See some merit to giving gun safety classes. I don't see anything wrong with that.
That particular congregation is right near the Mexican border.
Oh, well, yeah, that...
And the pastor indicated that, and they've had incidents like this, we've even had them in St. Louis, where robbers will come into a church service.
Yeah.
And I remember when I was driving taxi going to the seminary, there was a particularly bad one where they shot the pastor, etc.
Right.
But my point is, is that appropriate for a church to do? Then I began thinking of all the other things that we churches do that is not particularly from a Christian point of view what the church is doing. For example, we'll have maybe for kids who are not yet in kindergarten a place their mothers can drop them off while they go shopping.
You know, the passage that comes to my mind in connection with that last question about should you have gun training.
Yes.
You know, Jesus says he wants us to be as wise as serpents and as harmless as doves. What do you think on that? Wise as serpents and as harmless as doves. I don't know if I just don't know if I would want my congregation to be known as a church where you get gun safety, or, you know, or instruction on handling guns. I just don't know about that.
Well, I'll tell you, the advertising is such that if there is going to be a robbery at a church, yeah, it sure won't be at that one.
Yeah, that is right. Yeah.
In fact, the pastor carries around a .45 concealed.
Oh, boy. Now, yeah. Now you follow up to the other, you were getting on the subject of other things that we do.
Yeah, but before we do so, we do have a phone call here at 505-7850 or
1-800-730-2727.
So let's go and speak with Jane. Hi, Jane.
Hi, Pastor Tom. There's a church in Arnold that does that. It's not a Lutheran church, but it's a church in Arnold, and that's just one of the things they do. You can actually apply for your conceal and carry license and everything from them. So it's closer than Texas.
And your opinion?
I don't think it belongs in church. I happen to have conceal and carry, but I don't think that belongs in church.
Okay.
I want law and gospel in church, and I did it good every Sunday.
Yeah, you know, that's a good point. I think, you know, these churches that try to offer so many things, you know, are they really doing a good job with the law and the gospel, with the word and sacrament? And that's a problem, you know.
Well, I used to belong there, and I know that they don't. But mm-hmm. Now I'm Lutheran. Mm-hmm. Because of KFUO, thank you.
Well, that's fine, and remind me never to meet with you.
That's okay. I wouldn't shoot you.
Oh, thank you. That's really helpful to know.
Well, that's a good call.
If we ever meet at a restaurant, I'll be one of those that no concealed guns allowed.
Oh, well, then we don't take them there.
No, I tell you, there's a bank in town here that has that on there. You know, not allowed to bring a gun in.
Except for the crooks.
Yeah, well, I put a sign at the bottom of it, therefore all crooks welcome.
Right.
Yeah, you're not going to get shot in here. I mean, it's the craziest thing.
What's she saying?
This church offers, art classes, everything you can think of.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, and that's what I was just going to start talking about with Pastor Smith. So thanks very much, Jane.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Okay.
See, I'll tell you what. You asked that question. I think... you know, your time is so limited. I tell, you know, some students that are assigned to me as field workers, I say, look, you know, you got to learn to say no to some things, or you're going to be just stretched in so many different directions. I'd say, you know, if you can't connect it with the word and sacrament, that's really basically a frivolous activity. I'm not saying that you can't enjoy, you know, a bingo game or, you know, fishing club.
How is that connected to word and sacrament?
That's bingo. My point. I'm not saying, well, look, I don't think that's the best choice either. But my point is, we have so little time. No. I would suggest these guys say no generally to anything that is not somehow connected to word and sacrament.
Then you would never be able to take your kid to basketball at a church, because basketball has no connection.
No,
to
I'm not.
Sacrament.
No, no, no. I don't mean that. No.
Well, where's
I'm
the
saying
connection?
I'm saying that your professional time as a pastor of a congregation.
No. The pastor isn't doing the classes.
You got to have a life of your own.
No. The pastor isn't doing the classes.
No. Okay. Right.
They're bringing in professional people.
Right.
In fact, they go to a farm where they're able to shoot.
Yeah.
So he may not even be there.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with him.
But my point is, your time is so limited.
No. He's not involved in it. If you're not involved with it, then, for example, there's hundreds of things I wasn't involved with.
Uh-huh.
We actually had women selling clothing. It's called a rummage sale at our church.
Yeah, oh yeah, we've done that too, sure.
That has nothing to do with word and sacrament. Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you what, I'm not going to be minimally involved with that kind of a thing. I just don't have that kind of time in the ministry.
That may be, but we're not talking about whether the pastor's involved.
Okay.
Can a church do something
okay.
like that?
All right. Well,
and I think they absolutely can, because there's hundreds of things Lutheran churches do that have nothing to do with word and sacrament.
Yeah. As long as they're not obscuring what the main thing should be, you know, keeping the main thing the main thing.
Well, how can you have a... Like when I was in Sturgis, Michigan, I started a basketball league at noon to bring in workers playing. Now, we had opportunities to speak with them, and they got to know us a little bit, and then they were more comfortable maybe coming to church or something. But the actual game or anything had nothing to do with Word and Sacrament.
Okay, but I'll tell you what. I'll give you an example.
Yes.
If those teams are finding themselves playing on weekends and not going to church because of their involvement in basketball, that's a problem. That's all I'm saying. I'm not forbidding.
Okay, so you can have gun shooting as long as it's not on weekends.
No.
See, criteria you bring up, we're already doing those.
Tom, all I'm saying is, let's not lose sight of what the primary ministry of that church is bringing people Jesus Christ, bringing them to the church.
Well, if a gun kind of club like that brings people into church, why not allow it?
Yeah.
Because they have people who said, I haven't been to church for years, and once I got trained, I got to know the people, I started coming, and I haven't missed a Sunday. That was in the article.
Okay, if that's the case, yeah, then I'd reconsider.
Okay, let's go to the phone lines and see who else is going to reconsider. And we're going to start off here with John. Hi, John.
Hi. I was thinking that, you know, there are, and you were making my point, you know, that I was thinking, there are different needs for different congregations. If you were going to give self-defense class to somebody, would that be a big deal? Now, politically, we're stepping into a hot point here because it's gun control, and that's a very political issue, and that could almost, you might bring some people in, then you might dissuade other people. I think you have to use wisdom because of that. But in and of itself, I don't think it's a problem. You know, if you wanted to teach some people cooking classes because you see they're living in an area, boys,
yeah, where they don't know how to cook, yeah.
Or they don't know how to defend themselves, or they don't know how to do child care, you're offering classes as a church, as a service to the community. But this is a political hot button that could be used on the other side, you know, not to come to church. And I think that's where I would have a little bit of a problem. Each congregation, if you're living down where you've got people attacking your houses, maybe it's not a bad idea.
Well, talk about political hot buttons. Most of our churches have pro-life groups.
Well, I think, but that's definitely stated in the Bible.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's stated in the Bible. You can defend yourself, too.
Yes, it does. And I don't see a problem with that. But you have to do it wisely,
yes,
in presenting
right.
it to the community because... You know, you need to be able to not necessarily make people stumble and them seeing that issue instead of law and gospel.
Okay.
I think you have to just be careful with it.
All right. It's thank you very much, John, for those comments.
It's like that statement, all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient, as Paul says.
And we're going to go down the line. We got all kinds of phone calls right now. This is Jan. Hi, Jan.
Hi, pastors. I'm looking at a couple of passages.
Oh, don't bring the Bible in.
Oh, you know what?
Yes.
It's when people are blinded by this powerful delusion. Where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint.
Mm-hmm.
It's the law that Jesus told us that he came to fulfill, and that we must obey, and we need to teach others that this, he didn't come to do away with this law. This is the only thing that convicts us of our sin and shows us that we need a Savior.
So what's your stand on the concealed gun?
Well, I need your help. I'm looking at Luke 13, verses 1 through 5, and Mark 12, verses 15 through 17. The Luke 13 passage talks about some came and told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifice.
Right.
And he says, do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the others because they suffered in this way? No. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish.
Okay, now how does that fit into gun concealment?
Because we are church. We think that what we do in that building does not make us subject to Caesar, which puts me on the Mark 12 passage. Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. So, no, there's no problem with teaching someone how to handle firearms. And
okay.
But why? Is it because we're afraid that President Obama's going to come in and take our guns? Or,
well, I gave the example. These people are living at the Mexican border, and they're being shot.
Right. But
and so they want concealed carry to protect themselves.
Yeah.
Has nothing to do with the government.
Okay. Or does it? I mean, I don't think that the government can protect me. So.
Well, I hope they can. Yeah, well, I mean, where I live, boy, the police are around all the time, and they're protecting. But we're going to move on. We've just got the lines filled. Let's go talk to Lucille. Hi, Lucille. What's your opinion? Lucille?
We've just got the lines filled. Let's go talk to
Lucille. Okay, Lucille has got a radio on, so we're going to drop her, and we're going to Darlene. Hi, Darlene.
Hi.
How can we help you?
I just wanted to make a comment about Pastor Smith saying he wondered how wise as serpents and gentle as doves would fit in or apply in this. I just wanted to make a comment on that.
Go ahead.
How it does apply to the guns and so forth. We should always be prepared to be able to be defensive and offensive as Christians, physically, mentally, and spiritually, because we're always fighting against things we see or maybe do see. The powers and principalities, or maybe people. And so, but we should always be gentle and have great discretion first. So I think that's how it applies with whether it's guns or whatever else. I think that we would be able or be better Christians and be wise if we were prepared offensively and defensively, physically and mentally and spiritually to defend ourselves. That's all I wanted to say.
Yeah, I'm all for especially defending your neighbor. I think I always tell kids, well, if I got to turn the cheek all the time, I'll be known as a sissy. I say, oh no, you won't. Not if you defend your classmate
right.
out on the playground. You let it be known they're not going to be pushed around. So yeah, you ought to be ready to defend your neighbor.
And that's the wise part. You have to be wise and use discretion, but be prepared at all times. Offensively or defensively in the physical, mental, and spiritual realms. So that's all I wanted to say for that.
Well, thank you very much for calling.
Thank
we really
you.
Appreciate your insights. I saw a movie recently where it was Law and Order. A storekeeper was being robbed, and he got his gun out and shot at them, missed them, and they ran out of the store.
Uh-huh.
He then ran out of the store, chased them down, and shot them. And
yeah.
he was arrested.
Yeah, right. That's offensive. That's not defensive anymore.
Yeah, once they're supposedly out of your area.
Yeah. You can't shoot after them like that.
No, you're not the police. You don't
right.
have those as long as you're now safe.
Right.
Then you don't. And see, that's where shooting in the store at them would be like a serpent, and then not running after them would be like a dove.
Yeah.
That's how I would explain that.
Right.
All right. Well, we just keep on going down the line here. Let's go speak with James. Hi, James.
Hello, Pastor. I have a question for Pastor Mark and a question for you. I'd like to ask Pastor Mark, what is the distinction between the church militant and the church triumphant, and which distinction does he think the church that you're speaking of today is acting in?
We're in the church militant right now. This is the church militant because we're still contending with the devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh. So we are in the church militant, those that have been taken to be with our Lord Jesus in paradise. They're the church triumphant. They're beyond this church. I mean, they're still part of the communion of saints. We're all one holy communion of saints, but those that have gone to be with our Lord are in the church triumphant.
So many of the parables, when he says the kingdom of God is like, he's referring to the church militant.
Yes.
Okay. And the church that you were speaking of today, is it proper church militant actions? And, Pastor, your question is out of Nehemiah chapter 4. Nehemiah chapter 4 speaks of how they were working and protecting the wall, verses 7 through 11. If you can kind of look at that real quick and give me a proper application of how they did that in Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 7 through 11.
And okay. I'll hang up in this. All right. Thank you. 7. Now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were being restored and the gaps were beginning to be closed, that they became very angry. And all of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion. Nevertheless, we made our prayer to our God, and because of them we set a watch against them day and night. Then Judah said, "The strength of the laborers is failing, and there is so much rubbish that we are not able to build the wall." And our adversary said, "They will neither know nor see anything till we come into their midst and kill them and cause the work to cease." Well, these folks, Sanballat heading them up, they were very angry that they weren't part of rebuilding the wall. And so he says in verse 2, you got to go back to verse 2, "What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they complete it in a day? Will they revive the stones from the heaps of rubbish, stones that are burned?" So, they are really envious of the Israelites who have come back from Babylonian captivity.
Right, right.
And that's why we have a big problem here. So, from a law gospel perspective, all sin is basically due to envy or hate, and Nehemiah is used by God to deal with the oppressors, and that's what he has done here. So that's how a law and gospel point of view would look at it. Well, we had quite a few calls there. We're not going to be able to take any more right now because we're near the end of our hour, but who thought that, I had three or four questions for you, that concealed gun training would cause this much discussion.
It's a hot issue. It is, you know. And you've got some Christians that handle guns. They're maybe gun collectors or they're hunters, and nothing wrong with that.
No. And I don't have a problem with a concealed gun. I've got some very good friends that have concealed guns. And a lot of times it's because the neighborhoods where they have to...
Right.
go, or because of their job and this sort of thing. So here's the question. How far can a congregation go in setting up outside activities to draw in people? I'll tell you one we did at St. James. I'll be interested in light of your comments. We allowed our church to be a polling place.
Because, and you sold hot dogs.
Yeah, well, we made money. We were not allowed to have any religious pictures in the actual polling area.
Oh, really?
But there was a hallway leading to the polling area where I had filled with pictures.
Filled with icons, right?
Yeah, Jesus carrying a sheep, all
you
kinds.
You filled
of
that,
stuff.
Huh?
Yep, yep.
Good for you.
And so I tell you, during those days, we only had about 40 or 50 in Sunday school. But our vacation Bible school would often go over 100 because of the kids in the neighborhood. I'll tell you another thing we did. On Friday nights, we had a huge sidewalk leading up to our front doors. You could park two or three big trailers on it. And we put chairs there, and we showed movies and gave out popcorn for free. So now those would be the
Friday. That was your idea, I'm sure.
All of these are my ideas. Who else was there? I was the only pastor until Peter Krosky came along. And so
these ideas didn't bubble up from the laity. They came from Pastor Tom Baker.
Well, part of them did, because when I was at the senior college, or actually it was Ann Arbor, I would sell pancakes out of my dorm room. I made a lot of money. People love pancakes. And then we moved to hot dogs. And then the administration came and indicated that that was illegal because we weren't supposed to. So, yeah. So I'm saying that I'm not opposed to churches doing outside activities that might draw people in, but we need to keep your point that it needs to be done with balance, and it needs to be done in a way wise as serpents. And I think Jan and Darlene all had good points, as well as John and James, as to how to go about doing that. So... are you going to start a self-defense clinic at your church?
No. We've just got too many other things. By the way, we have a Bring Your Friend Sunday, another Bring Your Friend Sunday this Sunday, and we're going to be introducing people to Advent. That's 9 a.m. Sunday. The same service will be offered 5 p.m. Wednesday, Saturday.
Oh, that's interesting. I'll tell you a thing you could start in your church because you have the room, and we had done that at St. James, and English teaching class.
Uh-huh.
Because there's a lot of folks coming over now, and what an opportunity to witness to immigrants,
right,
and such. So, God willing, next week. I'm Tom Baker. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on KFUO Radio. You can write Pastor Tom at KFUO Radio, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. Law and Gospel is archived for your listening convenience at KFUO.org.